Completeness. That's what we're going to talk about. I suppose that what everyone wants to know is, when is this all completed? What's the end like? Even the apostles themselves asked this question in Matthew 24 of Jesus. What's the signs? And he gave us seven of them in the great chapter of 24 Matthew. And those seven signs basically line up with the seven seals, the seven trumps, and the seven vials. And you may turn to chapter 10 in the great book of Revelations if you choose. And there we're going to hear what the seventh angel says, because seven in spiritual numerics means what? Completeness. And if you be one of God's elect, you really should know what you're supposed to be doing just prior to the completeness, or you might be on the wrong road, headed the wrong direction, and the Father needs you. So that's why this is so important, is to look at that point of completeness. And basically this sets us up for the following lecture tonight and this afternoon. So let's get into completeness, get into the seven, spiritual completeness. Let's see what it is that this seventh angel had to say. And we go to chapter 10. We're going to pick it up with verse 7. And it reads, "But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished." That means complete. "As he hath declared to his servants the prophets." Well, what are the prophets, and when did he declare that? The Word of God, the Old Testament. He has foretold you all things if you paid attention. So it kind of oversimplifies it, doesn't it, just a little bit, when he says, I completed it there. I told you all about it. And I guess, as I often say, have you read it? It's there, okay? I suppose when we say his voice, you probably should know when the seventh angel began to sound. The word sound here in the Greek is psalpizo, and it means to trumpet, okay? And so when he sounds, this is what's going on. Verse 8, "And the voice which I heard from heaven spake unto me again and said, Go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel which standeth upon the sea and upon the earth." What does open mean? I mean, the book is open. It's there for you to walk into. It's there for you to enter into. There's no secrets, no great mystery. It's open. Verse 9, "And I went unto the angel and said unto him, Give me the little book. And he said unto me, Take it and eat it up, and it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey." Now, first of all, where was the first action? Was it the angel? Was it God? No, it wasn't. He went to the angel and said, "Give it to me. Seek and you will find. Don't seek, buy. You're out of here." The first action fell on the individual's part. And if you ask, he put that open book right in his face. He said, "There it is. Take it." And he said, "Eat it." That means absorb it, digest it. Why is it sweet to the mouth? Well, it's sweet to know the completeness of God, what he's going to do. But the bitterness comes from what's going to happen to some people that are not informed, some people that won't seek, some people that will not stay informed, some people that like to build their own religion, make it up, listen to other people. What voice is it you're really supposed to listen to? The little book. What is the little book? It's the voice of God. And any time you listen to any other voice other than the voice of God, you're headed for trouble. He's going to correct you. You're going to get a little taste of that bitterness that is also in that book. Verse 10. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand and ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey, and as soon as I had eaten it, my belly was bitter. It is bitter when we look around us today at current events. But it's written. Bitter things happen. Why? Because satanic minds and spirits are taking the morals of our nation and Christians around the world and crumpling them on television. Some of the things they put before our children are satanic. There's no other word for it. It's just pure Satanism. And how can a child that does not have teaching parents cope? Probably not too well. Well, that to me, that's bitter. I'd like to take every one of them and just hold them and tell them God loves you. God wants to protect you. Listen to Him. And turn off all this junk. Listen to your Father. For as it's written, so shall it be. Verse 11, and He said unto me, thou must prophesy again before many nation, peoples and nations and tongues and kings. And when you absorb the book, we all know what happens as it is written in Matthew 24. You're going to be delivered up at that time. And what you say, you're not to premeditate about. But really, unless you've absorbed the book, your chances of understanding and coming to that point are pretty slim. Even though you're not to premeditate, there are points and steps that you must be in the right place to know completeness, the time, the moment, the right season, basically. No one knows the instant. But to know the right season that our Father returns. Every time that our Father has appeared to man on earth, He has spoken with the voice of a trumpet. Same trump. It's the seventh. You got seven of them. What is the seventh? It's the last. It's the end. It doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. The Greek word utilized in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 52, is very specific. Last, the farthest one out. Seven, completeness. But our Father has always delivered a message concerning the end of His plan when He appears on this earth. Turn with me to the great book. Let's go to the Old Testament. Let's prove that. Let's document it. In the great book of Ezekiel, you all know what happened in the first chapter of Ezekiel. Our Father, by the river Kibar, appeared a throne, His people, and He had a message. He had a message to Ezekiel. Hey, let me tell you something. Father doesn't personally come to this earth unless the message is pretty important. He wants His people to hear and to revere Him. For His feelings toward us are tender. And as you've heard me say many times, He created your soul. And do you know something? Even here, we have over 3,000 people approaching four. There's not a one of you alike. Not one of you has the same DNA. Not one of you has the same set of fingerprints. God created you unique for His pleasure, as it's written. Why? He wanted someone just like you. Exactly. He may not love what you're doing, but He does love you. And He wants you to listen to Him, to His word, to His book. Do what with it? Eat it. Digest it. Take it in. Be comfortable with it. Be familiar with it. Because, you know, shouldn't really, when you get right down to it, shouldn't a child be familiar with his father's word? I would think so. Because your father controls all things. Your father tells you exactly how it's going down. Why? He loves you. So let's go to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 2. Our father is here on earth, de jure, if I may use that term, which means, I'll say, in person. And rightfully so. Why? He created the earth. It's his to do what he chooses with. In chapter 2, let's talk about God's word to the son of Adam. The son of man, as it is used here, is not referring to Christ, but to Ezekiel. And he said unto me, verse 1, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. In other words, why was he not on his feet? Well, here was Almighty God on his throne right before Ezekiel, and he hit the deck. Down he went. Well, God can't deal with somebody when they're laying down. God uses people that can stand up. That's what he told Job. Get up from there. Gird yourself and act like a man. That's the way God expects his children to do. And he spoke to Ezekiel. He said, stand up on thy feet. Verse 2, and the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me and set me up on my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. He could hear God speaking. And he said unto me, Son of man, I send thee to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that hath rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me even unto this very day, and I will repeat, even to this day. And this has to do with all of God's children, quite frankly. Again, look around you. Read a newspaper. Tell me what God's children are doing. Tell me about it. Verse 4, for they are impudent children and stiff-hearted. They're hard and they're stiff-hearted. You can't tell them anything, is what he's saying. Y'all have never had that problem, have you? I do send thee unto them, and thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith the Lord God. Who said it? Not man. Beloved, this is important. This is where you want to pay attention. If there's any one thing maybe not criticize, but is to insist that people focus on what God says, not what man says, this man or any man. You pay attention to your father. Thus saith the Lord God, and they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. Meaning, if you are speaking the word of the prophet, why will they know a prophet had been among them? Because what you say will come to pass. Well, you mean my word? No, God's word. If you stick with God's word, I guarantee you, it's coming to pass as it's written. And they're going to know that a repeater of the prophets was in their midst. I don't care how hard-hearted they are. Many of you think you've wasted time planting seeds. Well, just wait. Stick around. Stick around until you're delivered up and it's laid out right before their face that everything you said is coming to pass exactly as you had stated, because you were stating God's word, not man's word. And those seeds are going to grow rapidly. So you didn't waste anything. None of us are so perfect that we can convince any soul to believe and to be converted. We're just, seeds don't grow that way. But don't ever set yourself up as a judge that you failed. Because anytime you're planting God's seeds, you're not a failure. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Through the briars and thorns be with thee, and thou dost dwellest among scorpions. Be not afraid of their words, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. Now, do you understand that a date just passed you by there? When is it that God stated you would be among scorpions, and he explained it in detail, Revelation chapter 9? You know this goes all the way up to the time of the millennium, the time of completeness. He said, you keep it up. Don't you get discouraged. You plant those seeds. You tell my children. You see, those children happen to be your sisters and brothers. I don't know, do you care about them? Hey, I don't like what they do any more than what God does. But they are our brothers and sisters. And you were sent to plant seeds. If you don't plant them, then their blood could be on your hand. That doesn't mean you're to become a religious fanatic. God lets you know through unction when it's time to plant a seed and when the time's right, when a person's troubled, when they're down or something, they ask you a question because your reputation is you're just a common person, but you're a pretty good counselor. You seem to have truths. Why? Because you've eaten the book, and the book speaks through you. That makes you different. That makes you unique. 7, and thou shalt speak my words unto them. Lord of mercy, who could misunderstand that sentence? Boy, I'd really like to tell them something. No. Speak my words. That's God speaking. Not yours. Everything man touches, he messes up. Stick to God's plan. Stay focused. Discipline yourself. When you lack discipline, your trouble going somewhere to happen. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. It doesn't matter whether they hear or not. Your responsibility is to speak. And of course, beloved, this looks forward to that time of delivery. You understand that. When you're not to premeditate, and when you're to speak what is given you, speak. Or when, again, as I stated before, neighbors in trouble, lost a loved one, help them. Tell them what's going on if they ask, or if they persist, or if you have the unction. It's God's word. 8, but thou, son of man, hear what I say unto thee. Be not thou rebellious like that rebellious house. Open thy mouth and eat that I give thee. In other words, he had to open his mouth to receive. And when I looked, behold, an hand was sent unto me, and lo, a roll of a book was therein. He spread it before me. And it was written within and without. That's a Hebraism that means it was complete. It had everything. And you were told everything in the prophets and the law that's going to happen. And there was written therein lamentations, mourning, and woe. And sure, there is bitterness. And just because some people must suffer bitterness, don't you? You rejoice in that you are in God's will. No, we don't like to see our brothers and sisters in bitterness. It's not good. But it's their ship. They're sailing it. All you can do is plant seeds. If they got to hit a few rocks, bust a few boards, break a few hearts, then that's their problem. You've done your will, and sometimes God changes mind because he gives you certain powers. Do you know why he gives you powers? To exercise his word, not yours. Too many people try to get on ego trips and make their own religion. Bad news, friend. Real bad news. Okay, let's go. I think we're going to go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 12. I may have my microphone a little close to, I don't know. We'll see. I seem to be looking down. And now, you're familiar with chapter 12 of Hebrews. Paul is saying here, man, we're gathered together in a huge crowd of witnesses. Witnesses for what? God's word. And he said, don't you worry about it getting a little rough, because you haven't had to experience what some of old had to experience. You didn't, as Christ had to die on the cross, you haven't witnessed to it, brought blood yet. He's kind of chiding us just a little bit, okay? About people that say, man, this is a hard way to serve the Lord. You know, I advise you, don't ever say that. He'll make it a lot harder for you, okay? God doesn't appreciate people that says, I wonder what burden God has for me today. God doesn't send burdens. You bring them on yourself. Get yourself straightened out. And thank God for the blessings that he brings you. That's very scriptural, what I just stated. Anyway, he's saying here, you all haven't had it all that rough, but the thing to be joyful about is look at this cloud of witnesses. That means a large group. Okay? And in the end times, it was to come to pass. Do you know, I can remember 50 years ago when you could teach the truth that if you could get 30 people to hear it, you were lucky. You were really doing pretty good. But as we come nearer to completeness, people are starving for truth. They're starving for the little book. And some people would say, well, boy, your congregation is some outstanding congregation studying the Word chapter by chapter. We're not outstanding. We don't have any competition. Nobody else is doing it. So don't ever get to feeling real special. We just don't have any competition. So our Father is so good to us. But in this 12th chapter, let's pick it up if we may with let's start with 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor into blackness and darkness or tempest. What he's going to lead into is the children of Israel. I mean, it scared them bad. And they had to wander in that wilderness, and they came up to that mountain. It scared, should I say, scared the fool out of them? Well, it scared them bad, and they deserved it. Huh? He said, you haven't been through that. Why? Because Christ died on the cross, that you can believe upon him, and your witness is sure and true. It's a lot easier today. That's what he's saying. Verse 19. And the sound of a trumpet. Wonder which one he's talking about. The sound of the trumpet and the voice of words. You must always connect the voice of words with the seventh trump. What sound does the seventh trump make? The voice of words. God's word. Which voice? They that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them anymore. I mean, it was hard on them. It frightened them. Does God's word frighten you? It does some people. Some people, rather than understanding the book of Revelation and seeing the love and the tenderness and the promises of God to protect you, that you not a hair on your head will be bothered. Some people read the first part of chapter 13 about that awful beast that rises from the sea, and boy, they close it and tremble. Ignorance. Because they don't understand. Okay. Verse 24, they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. Why was that? God at that time did not allow anyone to hanky with his word or his presence. You either were with him or you weren't. His way is the way, and he wanted his children to know that, and he was strict about it. You've got to have discipline, beloved. A lot of people don't like it, but you must have discipline. Without it, you're dead in the water, okay? 21. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. See, you don't have to go through that now. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, and into the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels. The guardian angel always has the face of God looking out for you. Is he spoiling us in this generation, or is it because the bitterness is growing to such depths that we need extra protection? I don't know. But I know we've got it a lot easier than they had it, because the Savior paid the price, and he was so fair that he even went back and offered it to them. And according to 1 Peter chapter 4, many of them received it. 23, to the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven. They're written where? In the church file? Yeah, I've got my letter at that little church down there on the corner. What do you think that's going to get you? It better be in heaven, okay? That's where your name is in the book of life. That record, well, I'm not going to knock any little church. It's fine to have your letter there if you want, but you better have it up there too, okay? Written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men made perfect. Perfect in the Greek can also translate mature. I'm knowing 10-year-old children that were so mature in the word that they made a lot of elderly people look like unpotty trained babies. Okay, 24. And to Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel. Hey, the trumpet's talking to you. The voice is talking to you. What did Abel's blood bring? Vengeance. It cried out from the ground for vengeance. Christ's blood on the cross for you. That on repentance, everything is forgiven that you truly repent of. He has made it so easy for us. Again, sure, there's bitterness, but not on your part. Not if you're truly following him and if you're working for him. Not working for him? Hey, tough. You won't be blessed. You've got to work for him. Not for some church, not for somebody, but for God. 25, see that you refuse not him that speaketh, for if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. That's to say, if Christ speaks, you better listen. If the Holy Spirit expects you to witness, not giving thought to what you would say beforehand, listen to him. And I'm speaking of Matthew 24, Mark 13, 26. Whose voice? Now, was it the trumpet? Whose voice then shook the earth? But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. Do you know what that means? That's a promise from God. You can count on it. He's going to shake Satan out of heaven. Now someone say, well, glory be. He's going to shake Satan out of heaven. Can you guess where he's going to shake him to? Yeah. Earth. Okay. For a short season. 27. And this word, this trumpet, this sword, this word, yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as the things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. God's going to shake everything out that's loose. That means that are not grounded in him, that are not on the rock, which is Christ, that have built their houses on sand. They're gone. they're going to get shook up big time. I'll bet they'll be a lot easier to get along with in the millennium. A lot easier to get along with in the millennium. 28, wherefore we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved. It's eternal, friends. No more trouble. Can't be moved. Let us have grace, love, whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. I don't know, how do you serve Him? That's something you want to bear in mind. I recommend listening to His Word, studying His Word. By that I mean in your mind, body, and soul, absorb it, eat it, digest it. And again, you don't have to become a religious fanatic to do that. It's common to everyone. Any country person, and proof stands right before you, that decides to partake of that book, you can cut it. You can handle it. It's a simple book. After all, it's our family. It's our family history. And it's also our family plans as to how it's going to be, and it's made promise. Okay? Serve Him with reverence, love, for God is a consuming fire. But that fire to you will only touch your heart. That fire to you will only protect you and warm you, make you a better person. But to those that fall aside, it's trouble. It's bad news. You start trying to build some church house for God, and you say, now, you know, I believe we should just translate this a little different than it is. Hey, that's bad stuff. It's one thing to understand translations, but to change it, we want the good brethren every time they come in to do this, that, or the other. You didn't touch it. You didn't touch God's way. He didn't say to do it that way. He said, you mess with my plan of churching, and you polluted it. You ruined it. He will not accept it. This is your penalty, 26. Neither shalt thou go up by steps unto mine altar, that thy nakedness be not discovered thereon. You're not going to build you a fancy bunch of steps and with your little robes go climbing up and your bun showing. Okay? Anytime you try to change my word, you're showing your buns. That's what he said. You think God doesn't have a sense of humor? Okay? That's what he's saying. Don't try to change God's way of worship. Just love Him. He sent the Son, but all you have to do is believe and follow Him, and has made it so easy for all of us. Don't change it. Our church, we believe all this, but there are certain days. We have to worship these days. Yeah. Where did He say that? Okay. It says don't worship a day or a Sabbath. I nailed him to the cross. I am your Sabbath. I am your rest. Let me tell you something, friend. There is no other rest. Every once in a while you can get tired and stop in one of these little buildings and hope to get a little rest there. Unless he's there, sorry. Everything man touches that is contrary to the book, to the Word of God. Well, let's just take that one verse and talk about an hour on it, and we can bring Aunt Nellie and Uncle Jim. Woo, we can just really raise the people up and then pass the plate something religious. Okay, just really, we'll get along, you know. Well, that's it. Them buns are showing. Buns are showing. God doesn't like it, okay? That's His Word, not mine now, okay? Do it God's way. Back up with me to the 19th chapter. This is just before He gave the Ten Commandments. Let's nail this one down pretty good. And it says there in verse 7, in that chapter 19, Exodus, verse 7, and Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. This is why this is important. Listen to the Father. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. And Moses returned the words of the people unto the Lord. Do you think he believed it? Well, 9. And the Lord said unto Moses, Lo, I come unto thee in a thick cloud, that the people may hear when I speak with thee, and believe thee forever, and believe that the commandments were my word, that the book is my word. And the Lord said unto Moses, Go unto the people, and sanctify them today and tomorrow, and let them wash their clothes, listen carefully, and be ready against the third day. For the third day the Lord will come down in the sight of all the people upon Mount Sinai. Let me tell you something, beloved. It's not all that long till God's going to come down again. Things happen when he comes down. You want to be ready, okay? You want to be ready for it. And you need to know what happens at completeness, at the seventh. That is to say, the seventh trump. 12. And thou shalt set bounds upon the people round about, saying, Take heed to yourselves. This is discipline, friend. Take heed to yourselves that you go not up into the mountain or touch the border of it. Whosoever toucheth the mount shall be surely put to death. Now, you know, isn't that fair? Did God say, I'm not going to tell them. I'm going to let them all go up there, and whoever touches, I want to see how long it takes them to know they're going to get zapped. He didn't say that. He said, tell them, make it clear. You go there, bingo. You disobeyed me, out you go. Friend, I will tell you today, you disobeyed God today, guess what? You touched the mountain, friend, and you're going to pay. It may take a while, but he will get you, all right? Don't mess around with your father. Pay attention to his word. Do it that way and be blessed, or there are other ways. 13. There shall not an hand touch it, but he shall surely be stoned or shot through. Whether it be beast or man, it shall not live. When the trumpet soundeth long, they shall come up to the mount. The trumpet's going to sound again soon. Not going to be all that long. It'll be in this generation. Nobody knows the hour of the day. You're going to be ready for it. Make sure what you touch. Make sure you know what you're supposed to do. It's well written. Your witness, what a great cloud of witnesses. Wow. Don't touch the mountain. Stay in Christ. Do it his way. 14, and Moses went down from the mountain to the people and sanctified the people, and they washed their clothes. And he said unto the people, Be ready against the third day. Come not at your wives. And it came to pass on the third day in the morning that there were thunders and lightnings and thick cloud upon the mount. Here he comes. And the voice of the trumpet exceeding loud, so that all the people that was in the camp trembled. And Moses brought forth the people out of the camp to meet with God. What's the purpose? To meet with God. And they stood at the nether part of the mount. They didn't touch it. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. But why wouldn't it? What is your father? He's a consuming fire. This is spiritual, friend. And the smoke as thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. Now, he's made you promises in Hebrew before that he's, once more, I'm going to shake it. Do you know where the last time he shook it? Jeremiah chapter 4, the first earth age. Okay? Verse 19, the old trump sounding, listen, and when the voice of the trumpet sounded long. Do you know what that voice is? Okay? And waxed louder and louder. Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. Our Father speaks. You understand, of course, that's what this word is, don't you? It's the voice of God. The seventh trump, when it sounds, will say nothing different than is written here. Be ready. All you have to do is be informed. Take it. Eat it. Digest it. Love it. And it will save you in His name, for He is the living Word. It's that simple. Follow Him. Never follow a man. And then, of course, He continued on, and He gave them the Ten Commandments. This should remind you, I want you to go to the Minor Prophets with me. I want you to pick up the book of Joel. And all of you, I'm sure that most of you know why I'm going to Joel. Right after the book of Daniel, Hosea, the book of Joel, good old locust. This is that they spoke on Pentecost Day. This is what the people spoke on Pentecost Day, saying this is that was spoken of by Joel the prophet. It happens at the seventh trump, or that leads up to it. I guess what I'm seeing is what you're supposed to be doing before the seventh trump sounds. He makes it very clear, very concise. Chapter 2, the great book of Joel, the minor prophets, verse 1. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion. Sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh. For it is nigh at hand. Not here, but nigh. Coming. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. Have you ever seen a generation like this one before? Have you ever seen a generation that can publicly scream out death threats, law breaking, attacking your own mother, entertainment for children? I'm just talking about entertainment. I'm not talking about conflicts now. I'm talking about what our young people are being exposed to if you don't discipline them to watch that is good. I truly believe that in this generation today lives the third that followed Satan in the first earth age. And I think that answers a lot of questions as to morals and how inattentive some people are to the book. I would think that a person that practices discipline and blessings from God would pretty soon rather enjoy that than to fry your mind like an egg in a skillet, or to ruin your body, or to go into a cultic belief that destroys children as well as adults. I think so, you know. What a time to live. Why am I saying that? That's a sign. That's a sign to let you know, be ready. Be on guard. Okay? Verse 4. Three. A fire devoureth before them and behind them. A flame burneth. The land is as a garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape it. After it's over with, if you were to look at a certain place and then have a party there, look at it after it's over. This is talking about locusts, of course. But understand, God's still in charge of all this. I mean, He's allowing it to happen. He's not causing it to happen. But He calls it His army, this army of locusts. That should comfort you. It's a little bitter because a lot of people are going to get sucked in by it. But it should comfort you, the fact that God won't let them go past the edge of the mountain. They're going to be stopped there. They can't bother you, is what I'm saying, when you have the power of God. For He has given you power over all your enemies, including Satan and the scorpions. But you have to have the faith to exercise it, to put it in motion, to take the step. Verse 4, the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen so shall they run. And of course, that should remind you of Revelation chapter 9. Skip on to verse 25 in this great book of Joel. And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, the canker worm and the caterpillar and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. In other words, he's in control. Let that strengthen you. Even the locust army is God's army of correction. Do you understand? Some might say, well, that seems unfair for God to do that. No, he gave you power to just scorch the armor off of them, okay? I mean, and that's just spiritually speaking. They can't come near you. Then if you let them, whose fault is it? Okay, got it? And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dwelt wondrously with you, and my people shall never be ashamed. Now, a lot of people are going to be. You won't ever have to be, beloved. Do it his way. Absorb the book, and you'll never be ashamed. And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else, and my people shall never be ashamed, and it will. It shall come to pass afterward, not maybe, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams. Your young men shall see visions. Do you know why it didn't mention old women? There is no such thing. Women don't get old. They get more beautiful. Okay? You're going to be used by God if you're ready. Okay? If you've absorbed the book, there are some preachers who say, well, we got to get them women out of there. Okay? Lordy, they're smarter than we are. Us preachers with this frame of mind have to watch it. They'll take over. Probably be a lot better if they did. Well, that's the frame of mind. God uses his children. And with souls, to him it doesn't matter. And he's going to use them. When? That's what this is all about. At the completeness that brings it up to it. The great day of the Lord is coming. And there's work to do. And he expects his children to have a little part in it. Why? Who's going to be delivered up and witnesses his children, though? Those that see. They're going to be blessed, I mean, beyond any measure that we could even comprehend at this time. And what a blessing to be used of God to destroy the bitterness forever. To shake out that is bitter, save that is all possible through the millennium to be saved. And you're a part of it. How thankful you should be to Almighty God. 29, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaidens, in those days shall I pour out my spirit. In other words, there's no class in this. Everybody. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. This is always symbolic of divine judgment. Have you put that together? God's coming, smoke, fire. God the consuming fire, judgment day. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. Now what is the condition there? Whomsoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. That's fair, right? You bet. It's right. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. I don't know. Are you part of that remnant? I happen to believe you are, or you wouldn't be here. And that remnant God depends upon. He's got work for them. We just covered it. And the people that do this are truly blessed indeed. You know, it's so wonderful to be able to serve God and to assist him and to receive his blessings. You young people, to have been called into his service in youth, And I thank God that's what happened to me in my teens, to be, have it been opened up, that I had all those years to enjoy serving Him. And at the same time, being a farmer and whatever I wanted to be, okay? A Marine, okay? Chosen, frozen. Hey, is my old buddy here? Is my old buddy from the Chosun Reservoir here? Well, I can't say. Oh, there he is. Hey, all right. Good to see you. Now, that's discipline, all right? Hey, when it would look like there's no way out, only a Christian army could have come out of there. And we did. Anyway, serving God is a blessing. A big blessing, okay? Okay, we're going to conclude in the book of Revelation here. Excuse my back. We're going to go to chapter 8 in the great book of Revelation. If I held my breath, I could do away with that sound. But probably if I held my breath, I'd pass out too. So, oh, that's good. We're going to take the seventh vial, seventh seal, the seventh trump, and the seventh vial to follow up on what we covered this far. Won't take very long. Chapter 8, verse 1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Why didn't it say in earth? Because there wasn't peace in earth. Satan, what made peace in heaven? Satan was gone. Do you have any idea where he went? Bad news, friends. For some people, not us, okay? He was cast to the earth, okay? So they were rejoicing up there. And I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. Do you think your prayers aren't heard? They're even bottled, friend, if it's for the right reason, if it's for knowledge, if it's for the ability to absorb this into your mind, whereby you can teach, whereby you can plant seeds. It's bottled. That's what it's talking about. The prayers of the saints. Saints doesn't make you special. It means set aside. Hey, you're not going a great deal to be set aside in this world today. I'd sure want to be set aside from what a lot I see out there, wouldn't you? And I don't see that that makes me special. It just makes me have common... It indicates that I have common sense. The only part of it. Verse 4, and the smoke of the incense which came with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. So you have it. Okay, now turn with me to chapter 11. The two witnesses have just been murdered in the streets of Jerusalem, Apatha, which is an arena, and they're celebrating. Listen carefully. Be sharp for me here now. Wake right up and let me have your attention. Verse 11. And after 3 days, that sounds familiar, doesn't it? When God said that same thing back in the book of Exodus, chapter 19, he said, after 3 days. Well, let's see. And after 3 days and a half, the spirit of life from God, from who? From God, entered into them. And they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. The Greek word is epipeto, which means a paralyzing fear. What does that mean? 3 days later, what? Prepare yourself. After you see the two witnesses die in the patha, that means an arena. I know it's translated street. You're going to know it. You don't have to worry about it. You got it, friend. 3.5 days. That's it. That's the end. That's the completeness. Be prepared. And they heard a great voice from heaven saying unto them, come up hither. And they ascended up to heaven in a cloud, and their enemies beheld them. God takes care of his own. And the same hour was there a great earthquake, and a tenth part of the city fell, and in the earthquake were slain of men 7,000, and the remnant were affrighted and gave glory to the God of heaven. Who were those 7,000 that died instantly? The Nephilim, the fallen angels. They're coming, friend. We're going to be talking about them tonight. And the second woe is past, and behold, the third woe cometh quickly. 15. And the seventh angel, here he is, the voice of the seventh angel. The seventh angel sounded, and there was great voices in heaven. Voices? You got it. The word of God, saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. That's it. Turn with me real quickly to chapter 16, verse 17, to complete this lecture. This is the seventh vial. What does it say? Back to the seventh angel. 16:17, and the seventh angel poured out his vial into the air, not the earth, into the air, and there came a great voice out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, it is done. It is finished, meaning it is complete. You have some interesting signs within that. The reason I covered this subject was to try to impose upon you the importance of absorbing the book, of staying with your Father's word and avoiding men's words, men's religions, men that show their buns off. That means they make fools out of themselves, okay? Contrary to the word of God, leading people down a path that goes nowhere but straight to hell if God's remnant doesn't straighten it out. So you got some pretty important times that you're living in, and we're coming up on that time. I request that you be sure and catch this evening's lecture, which is kind of a follow-up on this one, all right? We're in perilous times. We're in very important times. Important times for a Christian to be awake. And I thank our Father for you, and I thank our Father for the privilege that we have in serving him, for indeed it is a privilege. And I thank him for making that available to us, for touching eyes and touching ears. And thank you for caring about his voice, his word. You see, and I happen to know you wouldn't be here if you didn't care about his word chapter by chapter and verse by verse, because that's all you get here. Okay? But what better thing could we have to fill you up, to satisfy starving people? I thank our Father for that. Heavenly Father, thank you, Father, for this privilege. Thank you, Father, for each soul here, Lord. Let them be a blessing to all they come in contact with, Father. Touch, even now, in Jesus, Yeshua's prayer.